are now listening to Lower Road Radio.
Hey, welcome one and all to the number one podcast, winter, spring, and fall. Talking sports for the thrill of it all. Hey, talking life, but we're killing it all. Jason and Dan with the master plan. These are dangerous men with the mic in the hand. Ha, bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right. What? Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right. Yeah. Dad life, good life, bright lights in sight. All right.
What? Bonafide winners everywhere that we go. You're a part of the team.
Lower Road Radio.
Let's get it.
What?
At Tanagra, when the walls fell. This is Dan Owings coming at you another time from Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason. How you doing today?
When's the last time you had a Reuben at Arby's?
A Reuben at Arby's. I can honestly say I don't think I have had a Reuben at Arby's. Is it on rye bread?
Yeah, like a marble rye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had two of them today.
Okay.
We had a coupon at work, two for $4. No, mm-hmm. Two for four or something
wow.
like that. It was a great deal. Normally, like a $5 sandwich.
Sure.
So it's like it was better mm-hmm. than buy one, get one.
Right.
So I had two. The other lady in the office, she had two. And my only complaint.
Okay.
And it might be because it had to be transported from Arby's to our office.
Oh.
The bread got a little soft.
Well, yeah. I mean, the transportation, that's going to happen.
See,
so
if
we're
you
talking
it fresh,
corned beef, sauerkraut.
Like a Thousand Island dressing.
Some kind of Thousand Island dressing.
Some onion.
On a marble
sauerkraut.
Rye.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's delicious.
And a cheese. Some kind of cheese.
Corned beef is fabulous.
It's underrated. What is corned beef?
It's beef that's been corned.
Exactly. I don't know what... I like
technically
corned
speaking,
beef.
Yeah. No, corned beef is like one of my favorite... So, like, corned beef casserole.
Of course.
My
I don't
wife
think
makes
anybody
it.
Knows what that is.
No, but mm-hmm. it's a casserole made with corned beef and
it's,
noodles.
It's macaroni noodles,
yeah.
sharp cheddar cheese, cream of mushroom soup.
So, when my wife makes it, she uses shells instead of macaroni noodles. Shells are better.
Wow. Okay.
You got to trust me.
It's pretty
one.
Brazen, but, yeah. you know, I'll allow it.
Lots of cheese,
macaroni,
yeah.
sharp cheddar cheese, cream of mushroom soup, and then,
the corned beef
kind of all mixed together,
yeah.
bake it. And there it is.
It's delicious.
That's pretty much all it is.
It's really, really good. And I don't ever want to eat it fresh ever again.
No,
you gotta take
eat
it directly to the microwave.
Situation. Yeah.
I'm not microwave, the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And then warm it back up in the microwave, and it is
yeah.
delicious.
It's the next day. It's the same thing with the lasagna. You shouldn't eat lasagna the day of.
No, never.
You should just, like you said, put it straight in the fridge and then take it back out, and it's way better the next day. There's no doubt about
it. So I have transitioned to keto. I've been very good, except for today.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Listen. No, but for real, I have okay. been very good. Like uh-huh. the last 2 or 3 weeks, I'm down a couple more pounds. In the last 3 weeks, total of 13, 14 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Cut out all sugar. My carb intake has been minimal, like just minimal.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a recipe 2 or 3 days ago with eggplant for lasagna. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we've had that. Yeah, we've had that before, and mm-hmm. it reminded me of it. It's like once you go down the train of the keto and you start to discover all these other things,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, or rediscover them, there's a lot of really great food you can have.
I'm an eggplant fan. I'm not going to lie. I will say it proudly.
I
like eggplant.
We fried eggplant and lard on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
That is, holy cow, yeah. that is really good.
A grilled eggplant, that's nothing to sneeze at. I'll eat a grilled eggplant all day. It's like a steak.
Prepared, it's not, it's okay. similar.
Yeah, but it does have a texture, like a thickness, like a density to it.
Okay.
It's not as good as steak.
Listen, it's not a steak. And steak is totally keto, so just have a steak.
Totally keto.
But the
what?
Pooping doesn't happen as often
with keto.
Yeah.
No,
that's my biggest problem. I like to clean my bowels
you
out.
You like to be regular.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel that it doesn't feel like I am on keto.
Really? But you
I eat less.
Yeah.
That's part of it. And my body's processing all the food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yeah.
You know. I just would like to clean my bowels out once a day.
It's a good feeling.
The best.
Okay. there it is. What a wonderful way to start the show off. Every week, Jason, we come together, and we have three things that we have to talk about. I know what one of those things is going to be this week because you're
leading off
with a similar situation. So just go ahead and get into it. What is it?
As of 1:26 today.
Oh, you know the minute, Mark.
I know the minute because I talked to the tower, the people working on the tower.
You talked to the people working on the tower.
AT&T towers are down.
Yes. I did not know you talked to them. Who do you call to talk to the people?
Listen, I've got connections. And the estimated time.
I don't want to hear this.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Shut up.
No.
I can't.
AT&T is down. It's down.
If their estimated time is tomorrow afternoon.
It's going to be Friday morning.
Next Friday morning.
It is super discouraging. So basically for the next 24 hours, you will not have cell phone signal.
Yeah. My phone says no service. It's just a really uncomfortable, disturbing feeling.
This has been, so it's currently 6:52, so it's been 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's been one of the worst 5.5 hours I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what to do. So my daughter was at school.
Yeah.
She's in the play. They're doing Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go pick her up prearranged at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I always have this gut feeling. It's like, what if she felt like she couldn't get a hold of me?
Mm-hmm.
So she got another ride home.
Right.
So I go to school and I wait there for half an hour.
Yeah.
And I can't find her. She can't find me. She's already at home.
And you can't call home.
I can't call home.
To be like, hey, is she there?
Yeah. It's awful.
It's a bad situation.
What did we used to do?
Well, every day after basketball practice, I would make a collect call from a payphone. And when they ask you, you know, who's calling, if I said Dan, that meant I needed a ride. If I said Fred, that means I got a ride home. You know what I mean?
Right.
So nobody had to pay for the call at all.
Well, so what I remember, because similar, was I would say Green Camp, meaning what was the name of a town. Come
right.
pick me up at the Green Camp or Prospect.
Yeah.
Come pick me up in Prospect.
Yeah. My favorite is, will you accept, you know, whatever charges from, Mom, pick me up. Pick up the phone. I got to talk.
Pick me up at Green Camp. I'm at the junior high.
Yeah, right. We're going to be done. Ah! So close. Yeah.
Well, and that's considering that she had access to that phone call,
right?
Or didn't miss it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. It's. I think it was a better way to live. I think we probably worried less in some ways because it was just like, yeah, this is just the way it is.
There was no
other option ever in the history of mankind.
Yeah,
and over the last 10 years.
So
you know?
Yeah, so I figured it out. My first smartphone. So I had a cell phone prior to that, but my first smartphone was 2012.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's not that long ago.
It's not that long ago. Like 8 years.
And you became accustomed to it like within the first month. You're like, yeah, this thing.
This is my life now.
Yeah, I always need this from this point forward. Yeah.
Well, I'm one of two ways. Either I never want it to go out or I'll ditch it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I would like ditch it forever. My life won't allow it. But I like
your wife won't?
My life or my wife. Synonymous. I wish oftentimes that I could be raising kids in the world in which I grew up in because I feel like it was a lot less complicated. It is nice that I can pick up my phone usually at any time and see exactly where my kids' phones are.
Yeah.
So I know where they're at any point. I like that a lot. Like if Levi had a late soccer game and he's coming home.
You can time it up.
So I don't have to wait. You know, at the school for an hour, if they were running an hour behind, I can see them coming home real time,
right.
And I can time it up. So, I mean, that's nice, but I don't know. It's just the hassle of it. It's just too much. We're too connected with one another. And I think it'd be better. You know, we just prearrange things. Like there's my son is here in the studio today. He's got a GarageBand kind of a thing going on. And so some of his friends are getting together. They're going to play some rock and roll music.
Rock and roll.
It's what the kids do. They shake their hips to the rock and roll music. And, you know, his dad dropped him off.
Levi's dad?
The friend's dad.
Oh.
A friend of Levi's dad dropped him off. And he said, my phone's not working. I said, neither is mine. And he said, I got to go do this thing. Can I pick him up at your house if you're not here? I said, yeah, when you show up. If we're here, then we're here. If not, then come to my house. That's where he'll be. That, you know, that was like the perfect example of that's the way we used to do things all the time.
Right.
You know, And I don't know. I just like that better. I don't know why I like it better. I know in many ways this is more convenient, but it just goes to show, like, it goes out and then it's chaos. You know, it's like, imagine if everybody's phone in the city went down.
Right.
Like, it would be, everything would go nuts.
I'm going to tease my Netflix suggestion of the week now.
Okay.
Because it's relevant.
Uh-huh.
But I'll tease part of the setup. Setup 1920s Alaska.
Okay.
That's the world in which this Netflix movie takes place.
Is it on Netflix?
No.
Is it on Disney Plus?
Yes.
Is it? Okay. I think I know where you're going with this, and anyways, I like it.
That is appealing to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're out in the middle of nowhere. They have no communication.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
occasionally it's, newspaper or telegraph
it's
lines.
It's extremely appealing to me.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, is that possible? Could I leave everything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I could. I don't think my family could. But I would absolutely leave and go up there and, like, mm-hmm. this is my life now.
Yeah.
I live here.
And
I have to build
and
shelter
to be, that's
and
the
a
way
fire.
Everybody was, in a sense that you were kind of on your own, you know? And
well,
you
which
didn't
is
call
what made,
people
yeah.
past, what, 10 o'clock?
Oh, 10 o'clock is too late.
Yeah.
So like you, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, 9 o'clock, yeah. And that was about it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you had an office, then you had a phone at the office.
And you were there 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
You were there
Friday.
8 to 5. People called, leave a message. If they left a message on Saturday, you would get it on Monday morning and you'd respond to it. And
that's right.
That was just good enough.
Right.
You know? Unless you were, you know, Cliff Huxtable and you had a beeper or, you know, people called you at home because,
right.
you know, a baby's being born and, you know, you have a job where an emergency situation. But I just, I don't know. I long for those days. I don't know why I do. Maybe it's just because I'm an adult and I want to go back to being a kid, and maybe it's that simple. But we're kind of in a situation now where we can't get rid of our phones. Like, as much as I would like to say to the whole family, just like, you know what? We're done. We're going to get rid of our phones. We just would be opting out of society as a whole. Like, we
yeah.
just couldn't function,
right?
You know, in the way that people do. So it's really too bad.
Well, my 10-year-old, does Abby have a cell phone?
Not yet.
So Gideon, we just got Gideon one
mm-hmm.
for a couple reasons. He's starting to do – well, he's in soccer, and I can't always be there. Our practice is the same night Shelby works, and then I also have to go get Estelle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same type of thing where it's like I need to communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my old hand-me-down iPhone. And we were already paying for a line through our service provider that, like, literally it didn't cost us anything.
Yeah.
So I'm just going deeper into that rabbit hole.
You want to fill my coffee up there?
Okay. Hold on.
Made some fresh coffee
so that's,
before the
do
show.
You more stuff? Is that
well,
your first thing?
One of my things. It's one of my things. So it got me thinking, did any like worst case scenarios go through your mind? Like when the phone towers are down or you notice like your cell phone's not working, were there any like worst case scenarios? Like something bigger went wrong and we might be in like some sort of apocalyptic type, like things are really bad situation. Did any of that cross your mind?
Yeah, actually my gut uh-huh. was like the EMP has gone off.
Yeah.
Like they've shut down the satellites.
And explain to the people what an EMP is.
Electromagnetic pulse.
And explain what that is.
Now the reason why it's it can occur naturally. In 1918 or something like this,
mm-hmm.
there was a solar, or it was 1870, I don't know what it was. But there's a solar flare. It doesn't matter. There's a solar flare that wiped out like all the telegraph lines in America.
Mm-hmm.
Like it fried them. And so they said if the same solar flare happened today, it would wipe out basically like all of our electric and communications.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this can be done artificially.
Yeah.
There are electromagnetic EMP like bombs that people can set off, but you could also set a nuclear device,
mm-hmm.
which emits an EMP pulse.
Right.
And
in which you would take out all the electrical...
the grid. So if you set one off 200 miles above the United States,
okay.
strategically placed in the middle of the country,
mm-hmm.
it would shut down all of the continental 48 electricity, communication, all of it.
Which would ruin everything. Like, it would be mass chaos.
In 2 days, half mm-hmm. of the country would be dead.
Well, there would be a lot of stuff going on.
No, I'm telling you. The riots,
mm-hmm.
the people looting,
mm-hmm.
it
and
would
depending
be
depending on what time of year it was,
Well, you know, now
you'd
it's
have a
cold.
Lot of people without power.
Yeah.
In areas where they wouldn't be able to cope, you know.
But think about this.
So it's not like it used to be like every house would have had some sort of fireplace or something.
In 2 days, the city of New York would run out of food. There's 35 million people in New York City.
Yeah.
They would run out of food instantly.
Yeah.
They rely on trucks and transportation of food to them from the heartland.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No. No,
and
it is
I'm
not.
Telling you, of the 35 million people in New York City, 100,000 walk out.
And I wonder, too, even about like the water systems, like how much power is, even if it's not forcing the water. You
know the
mean?
Pumps to get it to the elevation to run out.
Yeah.
You'd run out of water in a short period of time.
Yeah.
No, it would be really, really bad. Really quick.
Right.
Within a month. No doubt, within a month, half of America would be dead.
That's a pretty grim...
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It is true.
So you say you take the power out. I say it depends on what time of year it is. If it's...
It doesn't matter. Food and water. You need food and water, and there is none. The looting and rioting, people, they would have no hesitation to shoot their neighbor to take their food.
So in this situation, this apocalyptic situation...
Now, first of all, I knew that wasn't happening today because we actually had power. Because
you had power.
So the communications route. So I'm assuming it's a cell phone tower, but it's like, well, I'm sure it'll be fine.
But let's just stretch it out further that your worst case fears came true, you know, and that happens. First of all, what's the best like state to live in this situation?
In my opinion, which you're asking me right now.
You're the only other person here.
I think Ohio, for a couple reasons. The white-tailed deer population here is 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot, and they will be around for a long, long time. I don't think we could hunt them to extinction.
Yeah.
We have incredible farmland, so you could grow crops.
Yes.
It depends how long it's going to be out. Like, if this is out for 6 or 7 years, we got a problem.
Yes.
If it's out for 6 months, maybe you just, like, hunker down and survive.
So,
right?
Yeah, from that situation, I would say that the a warmer climate, possibly, because Ohio gets so cold.
Yeah, but we also have lots of wooded forest and trees and stuff like that. You could absolutely burn it.
So you and like, it would
you
like also, Ohio.
Yeah, and through the winter, you could preserve your food.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold enough. You could hunt a deer,
right?
Bury it in the ground, you know, or in a cellar.
Right.
And it would be fine for a week or two.
Yeah.
So you could hunt a deer once every 2 or 3 weeks, and your family, your loved ones, would be okay.
Yeah.
And the rainfall in Ohio is large.
We
have a lot of rain.
Would an EMP take out vehicles? You might have said that already. I wasn't paying
attention. So, yes and no. It depends. More than likely, yes. It wouldn't necessarily have to. Do you know what a Faraday box is?
No.
So a Faraday box is this metal, like mesh box that is also grounded.
Yeah.
So like if it had a literal rod going into the ground with a metal cage around it, this EMP pulse would basically move around this box and ground itself into the earth.
Yeah.
So anything inside this box would be safe.
Yeah.
And so serious preppers, you would have like CBs, radios, two-way communication devices in the Faraday box to be able to have that stuff in the case of an emergency. So some people think that some cars might be protected if they were mechanical, not computer.
Like old cars.
Old cars.
Mm-hmm.
So the newer the car, the more likely or susceptible it is to an EMP
attack.
If it's
just gears and gas...
then it would be fine, but there's still some electronics on there, and it
like
would
the
depend.
Battery. Like even old cars have batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once again, if it's an old steel car, it might work its way around and ground itself into the tires.
Sure, sure.
But if there's any electrical computer devices and stuff like that, more than likely it's going to fry it.
Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, it would be when Obama was in office. I went through 2 or 3 years of being a hardcore prepper.
Yes.
And I had all this stuff. I knew all the knowledge. I brewed my own shine in the woods.
Yeah.
I had buckets and buckets of food grade material. We could last 6 months, my family, 6 months without relying on anybody.
Yeah.
Since then, we've eaten it all up.
Sure. Well, you
but
know.
Trump's in office. He's making America great again.
Eat, drink, and be merry. It's the Roaring Twenties.
All over again.
So that's what state you live in. What about the Mount Rushmore of four items in a backpack?
For survival?
For survival. So
Do I have to have my family with me, or am I by myself?
You are with your family, and you are hiking, you know, across the country. So let's just say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Long term, like if this is indefinite, like somehow the scientists figured out, like we're not getting power back.
Yeah, but you heard about a colony in Missouri.
I would go to Tennessee.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Okay, so let's pick Tennessee.
Okay.
You know, but you and your family have to hike in this post-apocalyptic nightmare of a situation, and you get three things in your backpack.
You just said four.
I'm sorry, it's Mount Rushmore. You get four things that you're going to bring with you, right? So, like,
okay.
A pallet of food doesn't
easy.
Work.
This is easy.
Okay.
A bucket.
Okay.
A stainless steel bucket.
All right.
You have to be able to sanitize your water.
Mm-hmm.
Fire starter.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need a fire to brew the water to boil it.
Now, let me just say, too. I mean, you got a bucket might be a wasted thing because I feel like you could kind of pick up a bucket along the way.
Nope.
You don't think you think there'll be a bucket shortage?
Nope. You want a stainless steel bucket to carry with you.
All right.
You don't want to be contaminated with stuff.
Sure.
If it had lead in it or something,
you don't want an old paint bucket.
You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. Okay.
And so it's just
all right. Stainless steel bucket,
fire starter, the magnesium flint. You can scrape it off and start it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody could start a fire with that.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm. Some type of axe and/or machete.
Uh huh.
So if you get the right one, it would do both.
Yeah.
You need to be able to clean up firewood, and it would be a gun.
Yeah. What kind of gun?
So this is another tricky one. A smaller gun would be more convenient.
Yes.
You could hide it. You could, you know, whatever. But it's not going to be as accurate as a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to take down game, squirrels and deers and stuff like that, you want something bigger.
Right.
Possibly a shotgun, you know, with something like that. But the other realistic thing, and this is real, the ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
To carry the ammunition gets heavy.
Right.
So if you're carrying large ammunition, I mean, you're carrying it across country or 600 miles down the road, it would get heavy, and you hope that you don't run out.
Right. So you're
like a Ruger 10/22 is just a small rifle, and the ammunition is pretty small.
Yeah.
But you could take down small game. You could take down birds. You could take down squirrels, and you could fit 1,000 rounds of 22 ammo in like a water bottle with a cap on it. And it would stay dry, it would stay clean, and a 22 rifle is not overly heavy.
Yeah.
You could shoot it, your kids could shoot it. It's probably the best all around for that situation.
Okay. So you're hiking to – I would pick four guns, by the way. You're hiking
– Four guns?
Yeah, just – I want everybody in my family to have a gun. This seems like a very scary situation. We'll figure everything else out along the way. I want everybody to be armed. So you're hiking to Tennessee. You know how to drive to Tennessee. You've been there enough, you know.
Oh, I could get there walking.
You barely needed a map. You know what I mean? It's not. But are you taking the main roads?
Well, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm going to my wife's family's property.
I know you're. I know you. But here's what I'm saying.
Well, I can get there the back roads.
So you think back roads, like walking through the countryside as much as possible, is probably the way to go, right?
Once you get through Ohio, and you're in Kentucky and Tennessee, you're going to be okay.
Like a compass would be nice.
I can do it by the sky.
Yeah,
I mean not the stars, but I mean you know what ways north, south, east, west.
Yeah,
and you know what roads you get to.
Mm-hmm. I think you want to stay off the grid, like off the main road as much as possible, don't you think?
No, I don't know. I think
you're going to have pirates. You know,
I think you might be able to barter, trade, hooligans. Things like that too. And if you're armed, you're carrying a gun, most people aren't going to mess with you.
Yeah.
And I would show it. I wouldn't want to conceal it.
You'd walk it with it wide open.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'd have it on my shoulder.
That's why I'm thinking like a sawed-off shotgun, like something as intimidating as possible is what you're looking for.
No. you couldn't really hunt with that.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to take down.
Yeah. Well, this is why I have four guns. So I have a hunting gun, I have a handgun, I have a sawed-off shotgun, and I have a grenade launcher.
Okay, well, here's the problem with that.
Uh-huh.
You would want the same caliber, I think, of all the guns.
So I can use the same bullets.
The same, yeah, the same ammunition, because... Mm-hmm.
I say bullets.
Bullets. Well, now you're carrying four or five different types of ammunition with you. And so, once again, it's heavy, it's awkward, you run out of one. Now that's a done gun.
Right.
You're done with that gun.
Can you start a fire with a gun? Like, if you point it at the, you know...
We could try. Yeah. I've never done it.
I'm just wondering if I can, if my, my gun can double as a fire starter, you know?
Maybe.
Skid it off a rock.
You haven't messed with guns a lot, have you?
No, not at all. Yeah. Okay. So there's a gun raffle, I think, that's about ready to happen that I might buy a ticket for. But I almost don't want to win it because I just feel like there's a responsibility to being a gun owner that I don't think I'm prepared for. You know, I don't know if I'm adult enough.
I gotcha. You know, well, if you want, I can take you out to Dad's house and we'll shoot.
Listen, every time I go to Montana... My father-in-law take me and my boy out, and we go shooting, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it just doesn't do anything for me.
I love it.
Yeah.
The only problem for me is the expense.
Yeah.
It gets expensive.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just not my thing. So, and I just feel like if I have a gun, I'm going to have to, you know, like, I'm going to have to train with it. I'm going to have to take it out every so often. I can't just keep it on a shelf and never look at it or use it for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, I need to...
Well, honestly, some guns. So my wife has a revolver.
Mm-hmm.
It's point and click. You don't have to do anything with it. Like, she's fired it four or five times, like, in practice. She could pick it. She hasn't probably shot it in a couple years. She'll pick it up today and kill someone.
You ever move it? Like, hide it when you guys are having a big fight. You're like, I don't know if she needs easy access.
I just take
the
ammunition.
Right now.
She can look at the gun and feel safe.
Yeah, right.
But she's not getting me. No, I was just going to say, the other thing I would consider, which I don't have a lot of experience with, would be a crossbow.
Sure. Yeah. Also intimidating, a crossbow.
Intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could retrieve the arrow, kill a squirrel. Retrieve the arrow, reuse the arrow.
Yeah.
You're not going to run out of ammunition.
Yeah, you don't reuse a bullet.
Are
our phones back on? Oh, no service.
No, I'm getting a call through Wi-Fi.
Do you need to take it?
I don't know. Let me get it real quick.
All right. I'll pause the podcast.
Hello?
Everything okay?
Yeah, just guy from
church.
I
mean, in this kind of situation... where
now technically
it
wasn't, the cell phones are still down,
but
I have my phone set up to receive calls on Wi-Fi.
I'm actually doing that right now because I heard you say that and I thought, oh, I didn't know you could do that. So I'm
you go to settings.
Listen, I already took care of it. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm doing it right now, but I had to tell 911 what my address was.
I had to do the same.
So if I do call 911, they know where to send.
No, if you called 911 now, they're going to your house.
Oh, crap. I did call 911 just
what?
To test.
What?
Hey, guys. Cops show up. No, it's all good. We're good.
I was just sending my Wi-Fi phone call.
I'm sure you're getting a lot of this right now.
You know the towers are down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know there's that new Dunkin' Donuts going in. So... I don't know. I've just, all of this has brought up a lot of apocalyptic type conversations
in
my brain.
Cell phone towers go down for 6 hours.
You start to wonder,
is this the
beginning of something that's way worse? And then if that something that's way worse does happen, what's my plan?
I recently read a fair chunk of the Book of Revelations. And it's pretty scary.
Scary stuff.
I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well,
So is that your first thing?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So I'll tag on that real quick. Me reading. It's not in my list of things here, but for Christmas, for my birthday, my stepmom, our stepmom, bought me an Amazon gift card.
Okay.
I've been sitting on this gift card since September.
Mm.
It is currently the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a good 4 or 5 months. I agonize over spending a gift card because once I spend it, it's gone. And it's pretty rare that I buy something for myself.
Right. And Amazon there's such a burden of decision because you could literally get anything you want. And so it's almost more difficult than if it was like it's a gift card to Lowe's or something like that.
Well, yeah, I'm going to get light bulbs.
Yeah.
Because I need some light bulbs.
Right.
You know, but
which you could get light bulbs.
On Amazon.
On Amazon.
I know. It complicates it. So I was watching and shopping and looking. And the other day, their Kindle 10th generation e-reader went on sale from $89 to $59.
Okay.
So I bought it.
Yeah.
And I bought a case for it. So I've been reading that.
The Paperwhite?
So it's not the Paperwhite. It's the, I don't know, 10th generation, whatever. But it is fabulous. And there's a soft glow.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading at night. Shelby will be asleep, and I can turn that glow on.
Yeah.
And it's not a bright light. Mm-hmm. The pad itself just glows a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the size of my phone, which I have a huge phone.
You have a big phone. But yeah, it's you can hold it in one hand.
You can hold it in one hand, but it's like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy
on the eyes.
It's easy on the eyes. Also very easy to get phone or to get stuff from the library to set that whole situation up.
The Ohio Digital Library, you can get almost anything.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you can get what's available. There's tons of stuff available to do it, but you can also get on a list, whatever, and then just...
Yeah, you're in the queue.
Yeah, you just put yourself in the queue for any book that you want.
Right.
So it's pretty fabulous.
And you can request books.
Mm-hmm.
So I requested Dr. Meldrum's Sasquatch book.
Of course.
I can't believe they don't own it. That blew my mind. There's not a lot of like great books about Sasquatch, scientifically speaking.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum is the elite.
He's the
expert.
He's the George Washington on the Mount Rushmore of Sasquatch
cryptozoological
experts.
Uh-huh.
It's him and Joe Rogan and I don't know.
So this Kindle is great.
You like it?
I've been doing a lot more reading.
Good.
Which I need to. I know I need to. But literally, I have everything available.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I had a Kindle like a long time ago, like, you know, one of the first ones. And I did enjoy it. It not as nice as the one that you have. The new ones I've looked at. And I've really thought about getting them. But, man, do I like a book, you know?
You know, yes. But, like, tonight I go pick up my daughter.
Yeah.
I run out the door with it and I have access to everything.
I get it. I just went to a used bookstore in Columbus. We were in Columbus for Levi's birthday, and I went to a used bookstore, and I got a great big book on Harry Truman for $2. It was in the clearance section.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I like a book, you know? I recently made a decision that I'm going to, after I finish this Harry Truman book, because I'm always reading like 5 books at a time.
Right.
Different topics. So I always have like a fictional book that I'm reading, a historical book that I'm reading, a spiritual book that I'm reading. And I just finished the historical book, so I'm looking to start a new one. So I got this Harry Truman book because the author I really like and everything. And I made a decision that I'm going to, when I'm done with this, I'm going to start at the beginning and I'm going to find the definitive biography of every president, starting with George Washington, and then I will have a bookshelf. I'm going to make a bookshelf, like a long bookshelf in, you know, somewhere in my house that starts at Washington and ends at Trump and read every biography on every president. What do you think about that?
I don't think you're actually going to do it.
I think I will.
I don't know if you will.
I think I will.
I think you'll get to, like, Jefferson and be like, yeah, I'm done.
How many presidents start at Washington? How many can you name in order?
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Quincy Adams.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I start to. At one time, I knew him.
I think it was Andrew Jackson. I think he's after Jackson, Quincy Adams. And then I think
Tyler Polk Taylor.
Martin Van Buren, I believe, is next.
And then Tyler Polk Taylor.
I think that's when I start to lose it.
Yeah.
Is after. I mean, it's well documented that Martin Van Buren is my favorite president.
And
but,
then
mm-hmm.
Abraham Lincoln.
16.
Number 16, yeah.
Yeah. From Abraham Lincoln, I can come pretty close to today. I can get I would say at least 90% of them. But there's that little lull in between. My two weak spots are like between Martin Van Buren and Lincoln, and then
Lincoln
like,
to Truman.
No, it's like Roosevelt to it's like the Coolidge, Harding, Wilson, Like those,
that's what I said. Lincoln to Truman.
Well, no, because the post, like Lincoln to Roosevelt, I feel like I have a pretty good gauge on. But it's the.
You know what? It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think it might.
It really doesn't matter.
I think it matters to understand, to have a good grasp of history.
No, I agree to the most part.
But I don't want to know these. I don't want to know these. Because I memorized them. I want to know them because I'm so familiar with the history that I know it, right? So, like, I could sit down and write out of the Major League Baseball teams. That would not be difficult for me to do. I could totally do that.
Right.
I've never once thought about memorizing all of the Major League Baseball teams. But why do I know them? Because I followed baseball my whole life.
Right.
So, that's the way I view it.
I get it.
That's not one of my things. And it's based off of your thing, I guess, because you're talking about reading more. So, what book are you reading?
John Maxwell, Be a People Person.
Yeah, you should read that one twice. So my...
I'm actually on my second time. As I'm reading it, I got through like the second or third chapter. I'm like, I've read this before.
You started to like pick up like...
I think I read it like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. You've probably been gifted that book a lot.
Oh, yeah. My shelf is filled with it.
Huh.
Well, I have 18 days to finish it it's a library book.
That's yeah. Well, maybe that's helpful too to have
Well, there's 21. Pressure. You get it for 21 days,
right? Yeah, but you can extend it too.
You can.
All right. So my second thing is, Jason, you got a pretty good. You feel like you got a pretty good gauge on people. You got a pretty good like.
I am reading
meter.
Be a People Person by John Maxwell. Okay.
So I'm going to read you an article about something that happened at a Philadelphia Flyers like fan day.
Okay.
And you give me your feedback. Like what? I just want to know what's going on here.
Okay.
Okay. A father of a 13-year-old boy is claiming that the popular Philadelphia Flyers mascot Gritty, by the way, this is a picture of Gritty, if that helps.
Oh, okay.
He looks a little insane.
Yeah.
The popular mascot Gritty punched his son in the back on a November 2019 meet and greet event for season ticket holders. And now police are conducting an investigation into the alleged accident. Chris Greenwell told the Philadelphia Inquirer his 13-year-old son, Brandon, waited in line for about an hour to meet the orange googly-eyed monster before the November 19th Flyers game at Wells Fargo Center. But after getting his picture taken and patting the mascot on the head, Chris Greenwell claims that Gritty took a running start and, quote, punched my son as hard as he could in the back. According to the Inquirer, after Greenwell and Comcast Spectator, the company that owns the Flyers, were unable to come to an agreement on what happened that night, the boy's father reported the incident to law enforcement. Philadelphia police confirmed to the USA Today Sports on Wednesday that an investigation is active and ongoing with the South Detectives Division. The Flyers said in a statement Wednesday that they conducted an investigation but found no evidence of the allegations. The statement read, "We took Mr. Greenwell's allegations seriously and conducted a thorough investigation that found nothing to support his claim." Greenwell told the Inquirer he hasn't hired a lawyer and is only seeking an apology from the team and something special for his son. What's going on?
I don't know. I would guess that the mascot was doing a slapstick thing.
Like a bit. Like, yes. This is a funny thing that I do.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what mascots do.
That's right. Uh-huh. It's over the top. They're trying to be funny. He probably was running, you know, arch rival style, hold the arm all the way back.
Wah, wah, wah. Like, this kid will get a kick out of this. This will make his day.
That's right. And he probably hit him.
Yeah.
And it was probably slightly harder than he anticipated, but it was all in good fun.
Right.
And he's 13 years old.
He's 13 years old.
So, listen, I've got a 13-year-old at home.
Mm-hmm.
He just turned 13 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Go ahead and punch him.
Please.
Please. I beg you. And then tell him to do the laundry.
So, the dad claims he's not trying to get anything. Do you believe this?
No, he wants season tickets.
So, do you think this is a dad's trying to get something... Like fishy, something really did happen. This is like a kid that's like too sensitive.
Well, that's the
mom heard about it. Like he went and complained to mom. Like what's, you know what I mean?
That's the card I would play.
Yeah.
Listen, we don't want anything. We just want an apology.
Right.
You did wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you know that you'll be able to work that
for
something else. Because if you come across and say, we demand $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
I spilled hot coffee on me at McDonald's. You owe me $50 million. What?
Yeah.
For spilling coffee?
Right.
What are you talking about?
So if that's the play that he's making,
not for
the play,
$50 million. I think he's making a play for season tickets.
If that's the play, so you figure he's happy with season tickets. Like his in his mind,
yes.
he's trying to get season tickets.
That's right.
So he's playing, I don't want anything. I just want an apology.
That's right.
But he's doing that, and in his mind he's thinking, right. I could get some season tickets
yes,
out of this.
Absolutely. Because that's exactly what I would do. It's
See,
true.
This is why I brought the story to your attention. I knew you would have some insight.
Having said that, though,
mm-hmm.
Two of four of my sons deserve to be punched probably mm-hmm. today.
Yeah.
So if the mascot punches them, like,
so if you're
it
the,
is what
if
it
you're
is.
The guy that in that you're in the gritty mascot,
yeah.
right? And you're like, oh, this kid's going to get a kick out of this. And you kind of trip a little bit as you're doing it, and you really
yeah.
nail him, and you realize, oh, no, that was a mistake. Like, to me, first thing is mask comes off. Right?
Oh, like
you break
depends.
Character, mask comes off, look at the guy in the eyes, be like, man, I am so sorry. I tripped. I was trying to have a good time. Please, please, you know, forgive me. I hope he's okay. Let's make sure he's okay.
Okay, see, what I would do
or yeah,
is I would immediately go over and punch the dad, mm-hmm. not hard,
mm-hmm.
and punch the guy next to him,
right.
not hard.
Like, play it up. Like, this
play
is
it up,
my
like
thing.
I'm punching everybody.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And the kid obviously took a dive.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
look, I'm punching all of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit.
Yeah,
it's hockey. We're fighting.
She felt. I would. I don't think I could. I don't think I could restrain. I think the mask would immediately come off.
That's
for
why
me.
You will like, never be a mascot.
Yeah,
the
is
mascot
there any chance
never reveals who he is.
What is what are the percentage chances that you would give that the guy in the gritty mascot is just flat out a jerk, punched him on purpose, and wanted to hurt him? Like is
zero.
Zero percent chance.
Unless the kid did something.
Well, it says the kid...
Patted him on the head. So, yeah, that's not
okay.
worthy of getting punched.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been, you know, what if the guy that's playing the gritty mascot, right? This is, you know, he just found out his wife is leaving him for their dentist, you know, and so he hit the sauce pretty hard before he put the mask on, and he was drunk. And this kid patting him on the head, you know... like set off something in him.
Yeah, it's possible.
So
I
there's
mean,
like a point,
one in a million.
There's like a 0.01% yeah. chance that it's actually like it is. But
my guess is he was trying to be funny.
It
got you know he punched him harder than he anticipated.
The kid took a dive. The kid probably started crying.
Right.
He looks kind of freaky anyway.
The
gritty mascot.
Oh.
Like he's got a strange look about
him.
He
does.
Yeah. So the kid's scared. The dad immediately. Like realizes
Look, does it say
I have
what
an opportunity.
The dad's profession is.
Mm.
See, that might make a difference too. That would give me a little bit more insight.
Like if you found out, like that he was a lawyer, obviously,
or some type of marketing firm,
mm-hmm.
that he can be able to take this whole thing and flip it to his advantage.
Right.
That he can sell the opportunity now that he has daily access to the Flyers.
Yeah, I do not think the story gives us any insight.
See, you could
into
also like you know. This is his 15 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the national news, or
right.
at least regional news.
Yeah.
Immediately start a podcast. And immediately
well,
start.
Obviously, that's the, you know.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got 15 minutes. You capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Mascot victims. That's the name of the podcast. And you interview other victims from other mascots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wildly successful program. I'm predicting that right now.
This apparently is a picture. It will if this will give you any insight. I believe that this is a picture of the son and the father. Does that help you?
I was going to use a term for them.
Oh,
that I probably shouldn't use over the air.
Okay.
They look exactly like what you would think they would look like. They're not
stereotypical hockey fans.
No, it's worse. They're arrogant pricks.
Oh, okay.
Is what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell by the picture.
Yeah. Well, here's a Facebook post that says, Chris Greenwell is a fraud. No one touched your kid. This is nothing but a cash grab. You continue to go to games after saying you were done, and you had a picture with Gritty. You know, the one they took when Gritty hit your kid as a profile picture? That's his profile picture. Took you over 2 months to come forward. Okay, so that, you know, all you want is money and free stuff. The worst part of it is you're exploiting your child and teaching him to lie to get things that you want. No one saw it happen despite many people being there because it never really happened. You're a phony. Wow.
Pretty harsh words.
Those are harsh words from John Anspach of Facebook. All right. I feel like I know more about the story after talking to you, so thank you for your insight.
Okay, my second thing.
I think this is your third thing.
What?
Your first thing was that the cell phone tower went down.
Yeah.
Your second thing was that you got a Kindle.
Was it? I thought that was just like a...
No, that was your second thing.
Crap. And then I got two more things.
Well, I'm sorry. You can only pick one. I don't make the rules.
Actually, you do make the rules. We did. We both of us.
Well, I've made the rules, and now, you know, I'm not above the rules, you know?
I got two really good things.
Well, you're going to have to pick one of them.
Okay, so I will give you general topic without getting into it.
Mm-hmm. Wait, are you trying to do both?
No.
Because you can't do both.
Listen, I'm either going to talk about some impeachment stuff.
All right.
Or talk about the Spider-Man stuff.
Spider-Man, please.
Okay. I really want to talk about the impeachment.
I know. Why?
Okay, listen, this will just take 1 second.
No, no, no. Just if you want to know about the impeachment, listen to the Ben Shapiro podcast. The guy's a genius. He apparently, when he was 12 years old, was a violin prodigy. Did you know this?
No.
He was. And there's this amazing video online of him playing the theme to, what's that movie about the German camps, the Nazi Jewish camps with Liam Neeson. And what's that famous movie? Why can't I think of that movie?
The Schindler's List.
Schindler's List. There's a famous of him playing the scene from – or the song from Schindler's List, which is like the saddest song.
Yeah.
So this little Jewish kid playing, you know, this song from Schindler's List like at this like event that like Larry King was hosting.
Okay.
And so it's really phenomenal. He was like amazing. He was a prodigy. But then somebody spliced in – somebody took that video and then spliced in a bunch of liberals crying after Trump won the election. It's really funny because it's a super sad song and Ben Shapiro is playing. You know what I mean?
Yes. I have to see this.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It will go on my Facebook
page. So if you want to know about the impeachment, don't listen to us. Listen to Ben Shapiro. He'll fill you in.
A senator fell asleep. That's all he wanted to say.
Okay.
And I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
The senators don't even care.
Which is why we shouldn't even talk about
it. One of them fell asleep.
I'd rather talk about Spider-Man.
Okay. New wild theory.
Okay.
They're coming out with a couple different weird things about Spider-Man. They came out with the Venom movie, which was like this standalone bad guy, and there's another one coming up that comes from different Spider-Man worlds almost, different comic book series, and they do this from time to time. Different, you know, DC has been awful at this. There's been different variations of Batman.
Right. Yes.
You know, and
DC's all over the map.
DC's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so Spider-Man has been Sony's for a while. Little crossover into the Marvel universe with Endgame and things like that. But there might be a scenario in which we get a live action multiverse, Spider-Verse.
Live action?
Because we could have Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfunkel.
Oh,
we could have
this
new guy. We could have five or six different versions of Spider-Man.
You bring all the Spider-Man.
Bring them
back.
All together for one, like in-game style, where they're all together trying to.
Like a live action. That's a good idea.
It is a fabulous idea.
Is that just
idea.
Your idea, or did you
No,
read
I saw me? Some guy online made this proposal after putting two or three things together.
They should definitely do that.
It would be phenomenal. And what you could do is you could spin off more Tobey Maguire movies or Andrew Garfunkel, whatever his name is, Garfield. Andrew Garfield movies. Or you could
Simon and Garfunkel.
Whatever.
Is a different situation. Yeah.
Or you could this, what's the new guy's name? Tom
Hiddleston.
Yeah.
No. That's Loki.
But each one of these, you could branch them off into, and
I think it's Tom Holland.
Yes, that's what it is. Each one of these, you could do more movies off of each one. So all of a sudden, Spider-Man lives times five.
Hey, no reason not to do it. Now, does Disney own Spider-Man now? Or is it still Sony?
I don't
Sony?
Know. I think it's still Sony.
Yeah. Disney's got
to
buy that.
So, well, eventually they will, and they'll have to probably pay a crap ton to get to it.
Yeah.
But
they can afford it.
That's where Sony can absolutely branch that out and make Spider-Man almost its own.
Saturate the market with Spider-Man.
People will love it. Because they're Tobey Maguire fans that love Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Does anybody like the Andrew Garfield one?
I liked him.
It's all right.
I liked it. Well, I thought it was better than Tobey Maguire. Well, now that I've seen Tom Holland, I like him better.
I like Tobey Maguire.
I just think putting them all together and at different points in their life, too. Like, I want the old fat, like Fat Thor. I want the old fat, lazy Spider-Man.
Seems like Tobey Maguire could have been a hobbit.
Like in real life?
Like, he could have played a hobbit.
Oh, played a hobbit, yeah.
Don't you think?
No, yeah, for sure.
He's got a hobbit air about him.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Got short and stocky.
A hobbitness.
Hobbitness.
Not too late to make him a hobbit. Maybe in the new live action.
Spider-Man? A Spider-Man hobbit?
The new live action
on Amazon.
Middle Earth thing on Amazon that's happening. They just announced the cast of it. I'm very excited. All right. My last thing.
So you're on board for the Spider-Verse, multiverse.
Let's make it happen. There's no reason not to. I'm all for it. I'm 1,000% for it. It's okay. A great idea.
Well, I was going to say, the other thing is you could bring in, if they wanted to do some crossover stuff in other dimensions, universes,
mm-hmm.
Tony Stark never died.
Mm.
Right?
Why not? Yeah.
All of a sudden, it opens up.
Once it's
up,
a multiverse, you can do
you
literally
do anything.
Whatever
literally
you want to do.
Anything.
Because that reality exists.
I love it.
Yeah.
This should happen.
I mean, the reality exists in which, you know.
You could cross them over into DC world.
Yeah.
Superman could show up.
Anything.
Anything could happen.
A lightsaber could just make its way into it somehow.
That's not going to happen.
We just literally said anything could happen.
Anything but that.
Captain Picard shows up. What?
What?
All right. My last thing is it's a bit of an obscure, I don't think it'll take long, Mount Rushmore. I've been living back where I grew up now for about 5 years, just over. And something happens to me now every once in a while that never happened to me before when I lived out of state, which is you run into somebody you went to high school with.
Yes.
And it's an awkward situation. And, you know, the question is, how do you play that? You know what I mean? What are the four things you do when you run into somebody that you went to high school with at a grocery store? Like, eye contact is made.
Were you friends in high school?
No, not really.
But you knew each other.
Definitely.
Same sex or opposite?
We'll say same. For the sake of this, I mean, I don't know that
we
gotta pick one.
Do any activities together?
You know, like maybe we were on like a track team together at some point, or in the same like science lab or something.
I don't make eye contact.
What if you accidentally make eye contact?
You just move on.
Like, you just move on. That's the thing to do, right?
Well, that's what I've done.
That's what they want to do too. We're on the same page.
I think
here.
Most people are.
You
want
to walk away. I want to walk away.
Listen, because in today's world, mm-hmm. I'm friends with a dozen, 15, 20, maybe at the most, people that I was graduated with in high mm-hmm. school. And occasionally, I'll see them. And there's three or four that, hey, how you doing? You know, but I see their kids. I'm interacting with them on Facebook, liking pictures. You know, something like that might come up. Hey, I saw you guys went to Disney. Was that pretty fun? Oh, yeah, that was great. Well, I'll catch up with you later.
Mm-hmm.
Like that type of thing.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't like those interactions.
I don't mind them.
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to be a people person.
You are trying to. Is that?
That's why I'm reading the book, yeah.
I mean, you can ignore them. You can go up and talk to them. But to me, if I go up and talk to them, it is just that really good chance that like they don't know who you are. And
well,
now
see,
you're putting them in an awkward position.
My problem is I see faces.
But you don't know
I don't know their name, and I don't know where I place them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I saw someone at Walmart recently, and I realized I saw them, and I'm like, who is that? I know mm-hmm. who that is.
Yeah.
But I couldn't put a name,
mm-hmm.
and I could not connect
There's
the
dots.
There's
nothing good to do. So what if that person comes up to you and says, hey, Jason, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
That's the only response.
Yeah.
I mean, is it okay to be like, man, I got to tell you, my brain is just, I cannot remember your name. You know, I apologize.
Now, here's my little trick. I think I've said this before.
Uh-huh.
If there's an opportunity to have this conversation, to get to this point, this is how you steer the conversation.
To find out their name.
To find out their name. Are we friends on Facebook? Mm-hmm. No. How do you tell me how you spell your name again?
But
and you pull
Bob,
up your
Bob. It's B-O-B.
So it's just B-O-B. you say it's not Robert? Mm-hmm. What? How are you on Facebook? Are you Robert or are you Bob?
Mm-hmm.
It's Bob.
Right.
Okay, Bob. How do you spell your last name?
It's Smith.
Is it just regular Smith?
Yeah,
or is it like
there's
a
only
PH?
One. You don't know my name, Jason. Like
Smith.
You don't.
Bob Smith.
You have
okay.
no idea who I am. Like,
well,
to me, that's the way I see it.
Most
ending.
People, they don't catch on to that. I've done it literally dozens of times. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, and they spell it. And I'm like,
so,
oh,
all right. Let's,
okay.
Let's,
and then I pull up my phone. And there's like four of them. I'm like, okay, which one are you?
So let's play this out again.
Yeah.
Jason, oh, my gosh. It's been so long. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Real good. Real good. So what are you up to, man?
Well, are we friends on Facebook?
No, I don't do social media.
Oh, man. That stinks. You should, because then you can follow my life.
Yeah. No, I just find it to be unhealthy. You know, so I stay off of it altogether.
Okay.
Still have a flip phone, actually. Don't even do the smartphone.
Wow.
So, wow. But man, how about you? You know, you got married, right? I think your wife's name was Shelby, right? Was your wife's name Shelby?
Yeah.
Yeah. And at last I heard you had a few kids.
Yeah.
Maybe an Estelle, and a Harrison.
I got five
now. Oh man, that's great. You know.
Yeah. Well, wow. They're crying for food, so I better hurry up and get done shopping. I'll catch up with you later.
Do
okay?
you know my name?
You avoid it and you steer the conversation
sure.
and
okay,
you move on.
That's pretty good. I was trying to,
Hey, my wife sent me out. The kids are sick. I got to get some medicine and some food.
Sure.
Can we connect later?
Yeah.
Here, let me give you my cell phone number.
Uh-huh.
And then when they text you
uh-huh.
or call you, say, oh, who is this?
All right. So,
oh, this is Bob. We just talked at the store. Oh, Bob. Like, I didn't have your number in my phone. I didn't know who it was. Mm. Or they text you, say, new phone, who's this? Or whatever.
Sure.
And then that's how you get their name. Listen, I'm really good at that.
Okay. I just play out all these worst case scenarios in which I just look more and more
You're
like a phony.
You're very pessimistic.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. All right. What's your Netflix suggestion of the week?
Togo.
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus.
What's the actor's name? I wanted to say William H. Macy. It's not William H. Macy.
No, it's the guy that played the Green Goblin, isn't it?
Yeah, he did play the Green Goblin. He's a good actor. I like him.
William Dafoe.
And I think it's Willem Dafoe.
That's what I said, Willem Dafoe.
He's also in a great movie about that Tasmanian tiger.
Mm. Yeah,
he's like plays a hunter that's like hunting down the last one.
Yeah,
I think the movie's called like Hunter or something like that. If you can find that,
that's
a good movie.
I haven't watched it, but I've seen the trailer or whatever.
I know you're a fan of the Tasmanian tiger, so
I love the Tasmanian. Okay. Nobody loves the Tasmanian
Listen,
tiger more than me.
I know
me.
You like the
nobody.
I don't know if nobody.
It's a great.
You've not
it's a
seen
great
the
thing.
Movie. Yeah. I've seen the movie, so I maybe am a bigger fan of the Tasmanian tiger than you. But anyway, Togo.
Togo is a story of 1925 Alaska,
mm-hmm.
specifically Nome.
Mm-hmm.
So Alaska is largely founded around rivers and lakes. And around the coastal regions, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the large population. Nome is nowhere.
Right.
Nome's in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And it was founded based on a gold,
mm-hmm.
little gold, mini gold rush.
Mm-hmm.
Gold dried up, people stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally they're hundreds of miles away from civilization.
Anything.
Alaska alone is nothing.
Vast. Just so much nothingness.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so there's a virus that breaks out in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And all these children are getting sick and getting ready to die.
And it's in the middle of the worst season to travel.
Worst season to travel. There's
and a
blizzards.
Blowing
storms
in
are brewing.
That nobody's seen a storm like this in 30 years.
And everybody in the camp looks at the guy and says, we need the medicine.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
You're the only one that can make it.
Yeah.
And so they send him out with his dogs. Mm.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
I watched
movie.
It.
You
it's
watched
very
it.
Compelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, really just makes that, you know, grandstanding Balto look no good, right? Like, makes me hate Balto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my kids have seen the Balto movie and they like it, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Fake
not,
news.
Not a good look
Fake
for
news.
Balto.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever's in charge of the Balto estate, not a fan of the movie Togo.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much right now. That was a great movie. That was a great movie.
Great movie.
That's a good suggestion.
Well,
normally, I don't like your suggestions.
Well,
there,
yeah. I was in between two. And you would not have liked the other one.
Okay.
Totally 1,000% family friendly.
Oh yeah. I mean it's heavy. There are heavy moments.
So I watched it with Gideon and Gus.
Like if you watch it with a real little kid, there might be some moments where they cry.
Well, Gus was upset and Gideon too at the very end of the movie because Togo dies. I'm like, they said he lived out his golden years raising pups. It's not like he died immediately.
Right. I thought he was gonna die there at the
end.
Oh,
I did
too. It seemed
yeah.
for sure. Spoiler alert. Are
well,
you allowed to say spoiler?
It was 1925. The dog died.
I didn't know
the
story.
The dog's not living today.
Yeah, but what you want is what happened, which is the dog to live out its golden years. I thought it was going to die out on the trail or the
And maybe
whatever.
It did.
You'll have to watch the movie. That's a very good suggestion.
Thank you.
I highly encourage everyone to watch it. This is what Disney Plus is good about, though, is they're making family movies.
Yes.
I need more things I can watch with my family.
We watched the Jeff Goldblum.
I love
everything because you
I
can watch it with all your kids.
I love
it's
the
great.
Jeff Goldblum thing.
Nobody loves it more than me.
Listen, okay. All right.
Mandalorian, great.
And in February, like 17, something like that, they're going to start dropping the final season of the Clone Wars,
ooh.
Star Wars, which it's not the Mandalorian. It's yeah. not, okay, but it's something, you know?
Well, they're doing another live action Star Wars, right?
They're going to do.
And it's going to be placed around Rogue One?
Yeah.
Pre-Rogue One.
It's going to be based around, what's his name, Cassian.
Yeah.
But then they're also doing the live-action Obi-Wan Kenobi movie starring Ewan McGregor. So
movie or series?
I'm sorry, TV show.
Okay.
Yeah, series. So they got at least two more series and then more Mandalorians coming. So keep it coming.
I want there to be a seasonal Star Wars TV, 8 at a time. Fall, winter, spring, summer.
Yeah.
Give mm-hmm. me 8 of them.
Yeah, so then, that I always have, you know, no more right. than like 3 weeks in between series.
That's right.
You know, so I always have something to look forward
maybe
to.
Maybe a month off,
yeah.
and then 8 weeks, a month mm-hmm. off, 8 weeks,
well, we're
a
looking
month
forward
off.
To the Clone Wars in our family. So
yeah, I haven't really gotten into it, but
Michaela's a big fan of the Clone Wars. She's watched them all like 3 or 4 times. And I walk in and I ask questions and she's like, oh, Dad.
Dad.
Oh. So, all right, that's very good. Well, my Netflix suggestion of the week is found on Amazon Prime, and it is called Agatha Christie's Ordeal by Innocence.
Mm.
It's a 3-part miniseries.
BBC?
It's an Amazon original, but it feels like a BBC thing.
Gotcha.
They're all wonderful British accents. You know, I love it. And it's a murder mystery, but not typical in the sense that there's not a detective. Like, there's nobody trying to figure this out. It's like within the family something happened.
Right.
And it's really well done. Really well done. And, each episode's like an hour long. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. It was a classic whodunit. And I liked it.
Colonel Mustard in the library mm-hmm. with a candlestick.
That's usually what it is.
I mean, if I had to take a guess from scratch mm-hmm. or Mrs. Peacock mm. in the study
yeah.
with the candlestick.
Mm.
It's always a candlestick.
Usually it's the candlestick. Sometimes it's Miss Scarlet
well, you think it's gonna
in
be...
the kitchen with the rope.
Or sometimes you might think it's a knife, but it's never the knife.
Never. It's never the knife. Never the knife. Usually the candlestick.
Yeah.
It's a much more convenient murder
weapon. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there it is. That's a show, as far as I'm concerned. Another one in the books.
Episode number 402.
Something like that. We might start a new season tonight. Who knows?
Or maybe not.
We might jump to season 12. You know, we're in charge of our own destiny.
That's right.
We might fast forward to season 12 and then go back and do season 9
we'll
later.
We'll do some prequels.
Yeah. We might do a prequel. Who knows? It's up to us. We are the dreamers of the dreams.
Yes.
Yes. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, this is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice. And never wear the blue sweats.
Sit, booba, sit. Good dog.
I have spoken.